Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Good morning. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Chris.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, we are so excited to be with you this morning, this Monday, November. Oh, my goodness. 19th. It is clicking away.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, I want to give some shout-outs today. I want to give a shout-out to Juan out there in Texas. Oh, my goodness, man. The Lord is doing some awesome, awesome things. Give a shout-out to Pastor K. Chara, holding it down in Klein. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Debbie. Hello, hello, Abe. Tony. Man, God is good, man. It's wonderful to see what God is doing, man. Joanne. Keeping all of us healthy. Mm. I'm telling you. Well, if you need a nurse, you need to call Joanne. She'll take care of you. And Gordon. Oh, my goodness. We see you all over our Facebook page. And we just want to thank today all of our VFN Radio listeners who just partner with us and connect with us and are part of hearing this just prophetic word that's going forth. We're so excited and honored to be having this conversation with you. We just want to welcome you today, this week of the 19th. You know, Psalms 47 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. Listen, I love to think about the goodness and the greatness of God. Mm. Listen, no matter what's happening in the world today, the Lord reigns supreme. He knows it all. You know, God looks at yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time.
That's right.
Many, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord that directs his steps. The heart of the king is held in the Lord's hand, and he's the one that directs it like a watercourse.
That's right.
If the Lord wills, it will happen. So let me tell you, don't sweat nothing today because God is on the throne. And his eyes are upon you.
Amen.
And that makes me feel good today.
That's right. Amen to that.
That makes me feel good today. That my goodness, I just love the Lord. My goodness, he is worthy. Yes. He is worthy. So Pat, Chris, talk to us. How was your weekend? How was the weekend?
It was very good. Very good. Got some work done. Saints won. I'm happy.
That's all that matters.
I see.
No. We're just kidding.
Speaking of the Saints, I see that they actually did have a victory. It's nice that they had a chance to play a high school team yesterday, but, you know, that's very, you know, listen.
Is that right?
As long as they get a chance to win, you know, we'll clap.
No matter who it's against. Yeah, there you go.
You know, we'll clap for them. All right. Exciting.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I was in the market yesterday. I had a chance to be in the market real quick and run around and get some things. Mm-hmm. Teresa's cooking up an awesome Thanksgiving dinner. You know, just getting some
already?
Stuff together. Well, you know, gathering the stuff. You know, making preparations.
Oh, I said she was cooking.
Well, she's going to be cooking.
Going to be cooking. Okay, gotcha.
So I happen to be in the market, you know, minding my own business. Like, you know, I try to do. I'm just gathering some things, and she's somewhere gathering some things. And all of a sudden, I see a gentleman walking around with a jersey on. A football jersey. He has a hat on. And I just looked at the corner of my eye, and I said, oh, no. No, I mean, I had to rub my eye. I thought something was wrong. I thought I was going delusional. I just couldn't believe my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I said, is that a New Orleans Saint jersey?
Where were you at?
I'm in Patterson here. Okay, I'm at the market.
Oh my
market.
Goodness!
They just have all the. You got to go to this market. You know, I took Greg down here to this market. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, they have all sorts of just amazing stuff and just yeah. vegetables, and it's just like it's yeah. kind of like a farmer's market, man. But it's like all different, you mm-hmm. know, just stuff. You can just imagine it. Just but all different
right.
cultures and just all stuff. You're like, what is this? I never seen this bean before. You know, like
right.
all this type of stuff. Well, he was there. And so I said, sir, can I introduce myself? I walked up to this gentleman. I introduced myself. I said, hey, my name is John Ramos. I need you to help me out here. I got a question for you. He said, hey, how are you? He said, I said, I'm Rich. Hey, Rich, good morning. If you're listening here today, I told you I'd give you a shout out here on the radio. But I said, sir, are you a Saints fan? Did somebody pay you to wear this? Are you really a Saints fan?
Oh my goodness.
I said, you know, I have a couple of friends down in the southern region there, you know, and they're Saints fans. But I was shocked to believe that there would be a Saints fan in the Northeast knowing the quality.
Is there such a thing?
The quality of the football players and the football teams in this era, I'm just amazed. You know,
quality?
Well, you know, Super Bowl champions, Super Bowl, you know, champions.
Yeah,
Okay. I go, okay, yeah, that helped you out a little bit. Perspective.
Right, there you go.
So he says.
So was he lost? I mean, did he, like, lose his way?
Well, no, he didn't lose his way. He said, yes, I am a Saint. He was bold. So you know how these Saints fans are. He was bold, had the whole jersey on.
I mean, especially to be up there sporting that thing. That's dangerous.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we had a good chuckle and a good laugh, and we just, you know, just had a good time. And
did he actually live there, or was he just visiting?
I believe he was visiting.
Oh, okay.
He seemed like he was in his hurry, and his wife was like, don't talk to strangers. I'm joking. You know me. I'm like, hi, hello, how are you? You know, and drive my sons crazy. Dad, please stop talking to people. But, yeah, so I think he was just visiting in the area. I mean, had to be, because mm-hmm. we're in Saints down jersey, hat, and
all of
we had a good laugh. I said, "Listen, I have some friends that are not going to believe that I ran into you." I almost snapped a picture, but I said, "No, I won't."
You
be
didn't? Oh, come on!
I don't got to think I'm a lunatic.
This is a true story.
Are you making this up?
He's already 6'5", and I'm like, you know, 5'4", 5'9", or something. You know what I'm saying?
4'9".
Like, hey, who is this man coming to me? So, but I listen. There is a Saint fan running around in the. There's one, and
wow.
I did want to tell.
I'm
you
impressed.
Today.
What up, Rich? Who that?
Well, you know, guys. God's news behind the news, and we try to share what the Lord is leading us to share. You know, every day, and as you guys know, on a more serious note, you know, mm-hmm. Israel right now is in a serious conflict right yes. now with Hamas down in the Gaza Strip.
Right.
And for the last couple of days, last week, we were sharing about this, and we just want to continue just to share. I mean, listen, we have VFN radio listeners every single day that are tuning in, that are getting plugged into the VFN radio, and they're hearing a lot of stuff, information on the news, but sometimes you don't have the story behind the story. They don't mm-hmm. see, well, maybe what God is sharing prophetic insight into what's happening. We were so blessed to have Greg on Friday,
yeah,
and if you haven't
great.
Listened, wasn't that awesome?
That was great.
I mean, you just let it rip. I mean, it's just so good.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, if you haven't got a chance, you need to go to the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, click on the Torch, and the very top highlight there is called Living in the Fulfillment of Prophetic Times.
Mm.
This is so important because what's happening in Israel, I mean, God's already shared this with us in advance. And what's happening right now, what you're seeing prophecy being fulfilled, what's happening right now is that Israel is having to defend itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophetic word is the first shot that Israel had to shoot off to defend itself, I mean, it was not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hamas, which is a radical terrorist mm-hmm. organization that governs the Gaza Strip. I mean, terrorist right. organization recognized by many countries, including the United States,
mm-hmm.
this is not, you know, has been firing rockets into southern part of Israel. And this year alone, close to 822 rockets. That's up from 650 or so.
Wow.
From last year. And it's like, you know, enough is enough.
That's right.
And Israel's not going to stand for it anymore. You know, they just can't. You just cannot continue to allow rockets to come. I mean, why would you do this? It's like, this makes no rational sense. I'll tell you why they'll do this, because their manifesto, their whole main mission is to eradicate Israel.
Right.
They don't recognize Israel. And so Israel has had to they took out their one of their military leaders in a strategic surgical pinpoint position. If you haven't seen the video, it's the torch. Go to the torch, type in Israel, and you'll see this circle thing, this target that's just following this car. And then there was a car.
And then there wasn't.
It wasn't. Just like that. I mean, that alone should go, you know, rut-row. Don't think we should need to be messing with them anymore. You know, they know where we live. They know where we drive, you know?
Right.
And so Israel's had to defend itself. They have to put their Iron Dome up, a dome which intercepts rockets. And speaking of that, you know, just over the weekend, about 65 rockets have been fired into the south, at least, just Monday alone.
Right.
And about 24 of them were intercepted by this Iron Dome strategic missile thing that they have that intercepts these rockets, which has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, you know, this administration has gone around supporting all the other countries around them, and now they have to deal with them. I mean, they had to deal with Syria not too long ago, which is on the northern part of the border.
Right.
You know, and then with the shells that are coming across into the Golan Heights, saying, listen, that cannot spill over here. Plus, they're concerned about those weapons that they have that fall into terrorist hands.
That's right.
And be used against Israel. Now they're having to respond to a situation here in the south with Gaza. And the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, saying, listen, you're not going to do this to our civilians. We will defend ourselves. And right now there's a lot of support behind Israel from the United States and other governments, which is a good thing.
All right.
People are standing with Israel. But as well, one of the prophetic words was that, you know, if we divide up the land of Israel, that, you know what, our land's going to be divided.
That's right.
And when we suggest about going to 1967 borderlines, when we start talking about giving up land, when we start talking about doing all these things with God's people, we're going to suffer the consequences. You can't go around poking your finger in the apple of God's eye. You just can't do that.
Yeah. Nope.
I mean, the Bible's very clear. Those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed.
That's right.
And you know, we need to know. And now you're looking at petitions and signatures that have been sent from citizens all across the United States, 34 states, and I think, and counting. I'm not sure because I'm not really keeping up with that. But we've already shared about this previously. That's why we're not, you know, continuing to share it. But 34 states are trying to secede. People should secede from the United States.
Right.
It's not a light thing. That's not, you know, you're talking about people that were willing to put their email and their signature, which, you know, come on, that's not, you know what I'm saying? Hello.
Right.
So we want to continue to pray for Israel. We want to continue to get, you know, support for Israel. Listen,
right now
the situation is as such that there is support for Israel today.
That's right.
Today. But we don't know what that's going to look like tomorrow.
That's right.
And so it's one thing to stand strong when everybody's with you, but it's another thing to stand strong when people are starting to leave and now it's not, you know, exciting in public opinion polls. Are you going to stand?
Right.
Are you going to stand? And so we want to be able to I said, pray, be informed, and realize that, you know, all this has already been shared. God's already told us this.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be taking us by surprise, but we do need to pray for them. We do need to pray. God is the one that doesn't sleep, who doesn't slumber. He's the one that watches over Israel.
Right.
And for us who are believers, the VFN Radio is for the church. Listen, we also want to pray not only for the protection of the Jewish people, but we want to pray for their salvation.
That's right.
we want to pray not only for their salvation, for their protection, but we also want to pray for the protection of Israeli Americans. You know, in the Northeast and around the country, there's pretty big population of Israeli Americans. Here in New York, as soon as the conflict started, NYPD was released to secure different synagogues and out there. And this could be all sorts of backlash. But let me tell you something. God's kingdom is going to continue to advance.
That's right.
We want to continue to share the hope of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, and continue to do the best thing that we can do. Publicly support and prayerfully support the nation of Israel. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you, and what it is, you were seeking after Him in the wrong places. Listen, He is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after Him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life. But you've got to meet Him. You meet Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the Creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion. Yeah. You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right mm-hmm. in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. And that He's called us to walk in intimacy with Him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear Him? Do you know His voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened mm-hmm. to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk mm-hmm. to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this, mm-hmm. but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because He says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, right. you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with Him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see, where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to BFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. If you're just joining us after the break, we were just talking about Israel and what has been happening.
Right, yeah. And actually, I don't know if you've heard this, but there's been 8,000 rockets been fired in Israel since 2001.
8,000?
8,000. Can you believe that?
Wow.
8,000. And if you ask me, yeah. I think Israel's been quite patient.
Yeah. You know? Way too patient.
You know, quite patient, and they've tried so much, you know, with diplomacy and all the type of stuff. And now they're trying to get Egypt involved in this, mm-hmm. you know, truce and a ceasefire. But, you know, Egypt is different than Egypt, the leadership that was in Egypt before. You
right.
know, when Hosni Mubarak was the president and mm-hmm. he was dethroned,
right.
taken out, you know, he had an agreement with the United States, and he was able to keep peace on the border of Israel for, I believe, something like 40 years.
That's amazing.
And there's a long stretch of border there that Egypt and Israel share.
Right. It's about 80 miles long.
Think about that.
Yeah. It's not very long.
80 miles is well, a considerable, yeah. considering Israel. I mean, that's a pretty decent stretch.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So now with the Muslim Brotherhood in power, you think, can you know? Can it cease? Can they really negotiate? It's not the same Egypt that it was before. So this is just a thing that requires a lot of prayer. Mm-hmm. But I know this: God's in control. He holds the heart of the king. You know, kings come and kings go. One thing we see. But God remains the same. God remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at some things over the weekend, and I don't know, guys, if you knew this, and some lighter news here. I don't know if you knew this, but Hostess. Twinkies.
Oh my goodness.
They're going out of business. Did you hear about this?
Tragedy.
I mean, listen. we're talking about ho-hos. I think those are, what else? Dong-dongs? What do they call those? Ding-dongs?
I don't know, man.
But think about it. The Hostess company is going out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're trying to get out of bankruptcy court. This is kind of actually a serious thing. We're joking about it, but you know what? As a kid, I loved Twinkies. They were Wonder Bread. I mean, Wonder Bread for the longest time.
Is that where that came from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really? I know. Yeah. I thought you just made sweets to make you fat.
Well, you know, that Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread is not that nutritious. White bread. You know, it's like,
yeah, that's true.
Like, but everyone grew up on Wonder Bread, you know, and it's like now you got 10,000 choices of bread and stuff. But
yeah, right.
You know, I don't remember that many choices. Maybe I was just too young to notice, you know, but
mm-hmm.
they're going through a bankruptcy. Well, part of it is because they can't afford, you know, the high union costs. And you're seeing like a major
That's
company.
Right.
They made $68 million alone last year, just in Twinkies. And just, that one brand,
wow.
Hostess, is that one brand.
Right, right.
And so they're trying to restructure how they can maybe come out of this. They're trying to sell it off. The bankruptcy is not working. So they're trying to sell
mm-hmm.
Pieces of it off. And I was just thinking about, wow, you know, Look what's happening in terms of some of these companies and financially we have, you know, this fiscal cliff that they're trying to avoid.
Right.
Which is gonna be just
That's a lot of jobs. How many people about to lose their jobs?
I believe something like 18,000.
Wow.
18,000. But here's the thing for the believer. You know, we want to pray for those that are unemployed today and mm-hmm. are looking for work. Well, listen, you want to participate in God's economy. I mean, you want to be, if you're a believer and you're struggling with tithing and just honoring the Lord with what, listen, you want to get over this. This is something, this is like, you want to settle mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
Because this issue about tithing and giving the Lord's what is the Lord's is not really about money. It's about your heart. This speaks mm-hmm. of a bigger issue.
Absolutely.
Because your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And so we've got to settle this and get this right. Listen, if no matter what's happening in the world's economy, if you are honoring the Lord, trust me, the Lord is going to honor you.
Absolutely.
I think about what happened in Joseph during a time of there was great famine.
Mm-hmm.
God raised up a deliverer that was able to have favor and had grain and had mm-hmm. everything that they needed mm-hmm. at a time where the land had great loss.
It's great famine. Yeah.
Great
people
famine.
Are starving, yeah.
Starving. And so God, you know, has shared some wisdom. If you haven't listened to Prudent Preparation, let me encourage you. today would be a great day to get started. Yes. Absolutely. Today would be a great day. VFNTV.com, you know, prudent preparation. But you want to get informed and you want to get plugged in and you want to follow the wisdom of God. Let me say, the Bible is not full of suggestions. These are, you know, commandments. These are precepts that God instructs us to follow because they will bring us life.
That's right.
You know, someone once said that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for basic instructions before leaving Earth. You know,
it's like
basic instructions for living on Earth, too.
That's right.
I mean, come on now. You know, you always need to look to the manual. If you buy a TV, the first thing to go to the manual. If you go, this is our manual. This is how we're supposed to live our life. And honoring the Lord is a very, very important thing. Just settle in your heart. Listen, God's giving you the whole 100%. He could ask for it all.
That's right.
But because of your dependency, you want to give God 10%.
That's right.
And don't be limited. You know, that's 10% in tithing, but offering, be a radical giver.
Right. Be generous.
Be generous.
Occasions. That's right.
And be very generous. I remember when I first came to the Lord years ago, it's my 20s, early 20s. And I remember someone said, you just give a radical offering. Be radical in your giving. You know, I was brand new, man, just like on fire. Like, yeah, I want to be radical. And start talking about, you know, money that you spent before in your life and just threw it away and all that type of stuff. And I thought, you know, I've thrown a lot of money away before in my life. I've done a lot of things like that.
Right.
And I've done a lot of things like that. And so I realized that I wanted to honor God in that way. I wanted to honor God in that way. And what we're talking about, so we're talking about honoring God, we're talking about radical giving, we're talking about what's just been happening with Hostess. And, you know, they couldn't pay their workers. They wouldn't take a pay cut. They wouldn't take a pay cut to save the company, so they had to close it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so it's like, listen, you're going to have to make some adjustments. You're going to have to use some wisdom. You're going to have to make some adjustments. And we saw the same thing happening in Detroit. Detroit, they couldn't afford to pay those police officers that higher on salary, and they started cutting off police officers.
Right.
Same thing happened in Camden, New Jersey. Yeah. You know, it's like you have to be able to shift. You have to be able to use wisdom. But the number one wisdom that you got to use, the number one, is you got to be able to honor God with what is His.
That's right.
You know, you can't just approach this from a worldly perspective, but you got to approach this from a godly perspective. You got to start honoring God.
That's right.
And so I was sharing this testimony, you know, so I wound up giving this radical offering that I thought at that time. And long story short, I forget the exact, I think it was I know what it was. So he said, close your eyes and just ask God what He have you to give. And I just saw like just $200. I just knew it was $200 I was supposed to give.
Right.
At that time, that could have been like $1 million to me.
Yeah, I remember.
Dollars, what? And I
remember that empty fridge.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I had it tucked away. You know, I actually had it in my house. I was a young guy, still in college, and I was prepared to give like $20. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But not $200. Well, I didn't even give anything that night. I didn't sew, and all weekend, Lord just reminded me all the wonderful things He's done in my life, and He wasn't like scolding me, but He was kind of like challenging me in a way, like, haven't I done all this for you? You know, I want to stretch your faith. I want you to sew. I want you to go beyond what you've been doing, and look at all this type of stuff. And I felt so challenged over the entire weekend that the next opportunity I had, I just went and just sewed that offering. Would you believe that 9 months later, the same night, and someone that who took it was actually Israeli. He's a Messianic Jew, a Jewish person that received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They took up that offering. Would you believe that 9 months later, I wanted to go to Israel? And I remember telling my friend when I saw the flyer, I said, I'm going to go to Israel. And he looks at me and says, dude, go to Israel? I mean, we're eating peanut butter and jelly here, ramen noodles.
You can't go to the grocery store. What are you talking about?
And this trip was like thousands of dollars, you know? And I'm in college. It's like, it could have been, again, $1 million. And to me, long story short, 9 months later, I wind up not only having all the resources to go to Israel. This is just a miracle. But I had plenty of money to go to Israel. I was trying to spend every dollar I can while I was in Israel, you know, buying family gifts and stuff. I still came back with money.
Wow.
And it was just one of the many ways and many of the testimonies that throughout my journey with God, you know, that God just blessed me because I was able to just to give and sow. And I know you have experiences we've talked about like that as well.
Oh, yeah.
But we just want to honor God. I mean, you can never outgive God.
That's right.
You can never outgive him. And if the Lord is challenging you to increase your giving, step out in faith. Increase your giving. Because you'll see that God will multiply it back to you. He'll multiply it back to you. I think about in 2 Kings chapter 6, there was a famine in Samaria. And during that famine, there's some pretty, I mean, times are really, really tough. And 2 Kings 6:25 says there was a great famine in the city, and the siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. That was pretty expensive. I mean, it was just like a donkey's head. I mean, last I checked, there wasn't no meat, no donkey's head. You know, like, really?
Right.
80 shekels for a donkey's head. And pretty expensive. And he goes on to say here that even the woman even ate a child. I mean, it's just like, what in the world? Gosh. Yeah, it's horrific. You know, just great famine. You're thinking, my gosh, you know, look at that. And that was what's going on in the land. And Elisha was the prophet at the time, and he wants to releasing basically a prophetic word. And he says, listen, Elijah says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says, that about this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, a single seah, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Radical shift. I mean, a seah is equivalent to like, it's like 6 liters. I believe it's like, you know, two seahs is like 3 gallons for a shekel. Big contrast.
Wow.
And so a series of events, they were warring with the Arameans, and it comes to find out that the Arameans had left this area all deserted the next day. So the king thinks, oh, this is a setup. This is a setup. So he sends some horsemen out there with some chariots. Go check out what happened to the Arameans. They know we're starving, and they're trying to lure us out there to get this food, and we get out there, they're going to kill us. So they go out there and they find out, no, there's food everywhere. There's plunder. They left it all. They left all of this stuff all over the place.
Wow.
And so they come back, and the people start plundering it and taking it, and they start taking care of it. And just like the word, just like the prophetic came out, it says then the camp at the Arameans, so a seah of flour sold for a shekel and 2 seahs for a barley sold for a shekel, just as the Lord said. And it's like, man, in one day, things shifted.
Wow.
In one day, the money that wasn't going anywhere didn't stretch. I mean, he's paying $80 for the equivalent of $80, let's say, for a donkey's head. And now with 3 little shekels, three shekels, you can actually buy, you know, almost two shekels. You could buy almost 3 gallons worth of dry measure worth of barley. And you think, wow, in a day. And so, listen, if you're a believer, you don't have to participate in this economy. Right. You can choose to participate in God's economy, and you can trust the Lord for him to be able to supply all of your needs according to your riches and according to his riches and glory.
Right.
But we can trust him. We can trust him. The suddenlies of God. Be faithful to what the Lord has called you to do. Be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your sowing. And watch what God can do. I'm telling you, it's a tremendous blessing to see the Lord move in miracles like that.
Right.
And to see where God can just bless.
That's right.
When we're talking, we do want to just encourage you with that. But we've been talking for a while about a great awakening. We are believing for the third great awakening, where God's just going to move on the face of the earth and the face of this country. And it's so exciting. I mean, this is the church's greatest hour. Mm-hmm. This is the church's greatest hour. And we want to be able to share this. And we'll probably maybe get to it in the second hour. But we want to share this with you so you can be encouraged and be strengthened. Because listen, this is that. Mm-hmm. This is that. And we'll talk more about that probably in the second hour. But we also want to talk about some of the things that we shared in last week's program. Mm-hmm. Some of the things we shared in last week's program. This is so, so important. You might have missed it. If you haven't remembered that we do have the marathon weekend, which you can catch VFN Radio on the loop. But if you get a chance, go back to the torch. Go back to the torch and you'll see. I mean, we talked about the top three stories. We talked about how God has a plan, which was a wisdom moment, which is fantastic. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Mm-hmm. God's in control. And it's just been something that the Lord has had to stay on, that we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned. Jesus is sitting on the throne. Last week, we talked about faith that moves. Faith that moves. Remember this about the lepers?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
You know, you had 10 lepers that had leprosy, mm-hmm. and they're isolated, they're contaminated, they're outside the city, and Jesus was moving from town to town. He was, you know, on the move. Mm-hmm. He was on the move, and they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to God, and Jesus, you know, stops by, mm-hmm. and he just listen. Go show yourself to the priests. Mm-hmm. Go show yourself to the priests.
Right.
And they wind up going in faith, and as they went, they became healed.
Right.
And one leper comes back and starts thanking the Lord and so rejoiceful and so happy. And you look back and you're thinking, wow, man, this is so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to take Jesus at his word.
Right.
And oftentimes, this is what faith requires. It requires that we take the Lord at his word.
Absolutely.
God said it. That settles it. And that's where miracles happen.
That's right.
You know, that's where miracles happen. And you got to have faith that moves, not faith that stands. You know, an analogy that I like to use all the time that kind of really helps me, you know, because we say, well, I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe. Well, okay, that's cool that you say you believe.
Right.
But if you're sitting at a red light and the grass is and the light is green, light is green, and you say, go, green light means go. I believe that green means go. Mm-hmm. Green means go. Okay, fantastic. Green means go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until the person takes their right foot and puts it on the right gas pedal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That proves the fact that green means go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our faith and our deeds working together.
Mm-hmm.
Working together. And so we talked about, this is really encouraging, we said, you know, why these miracles occur, oftentimes we find in other countries and other places, and we say, where are the miracles in the United States?
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons I believe is that we're so blessed in this land.
Mm-hmm.
So many resources to run to. We can run so quick. Someone's sick, give them a medicine, take a Tylenol, take them to the doctor, you know, mm-hmm. all this type of stuff.
Right.
And some of these other countries, listen, when you don't have a Walgreens that you could run into,
yeah,
when you have a CVS, but the medicine in CVS is so expensive because you don't have any resources. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the people in Spain being evicted and living in abandoned apartments,
mm-hmm.
because they have a huge homelessness problem. People losing their homes in Spain.
Right.
When you can't, the last $5, $10 you have in your pocket, you can't even go and buy the medicine. In another country.
Right.
You got to use that to feed your family. What do you do?
Right.
Just like these lepers, they cry out to God.
Mm-hmm.
They cried out to God. And so they sought the Lord. They cried out to God. And God moved in the midst of that. And so we want to encourage you, listen, cry out to the Lord. No matter what your situation is, no matter what's happening, you can have faith that moves. You can have faith that's going to change your situation. Not just faith in faith, mm-hmm. but faith in God. We'll be right back.
what if we began to make progress instead of digression that's taking place, that George Barner reports about the statistical decline, the massive exodus of the young people in what we call the traditional expression of the church. What if things turned around? We are dropping the ball, Peter Wagner says. We are dropping the ball, Steve Hill says. As a matter of fact, listen to him. I'll be right back.
Gospel, because we're not making progress.
I have some very strong opinions about that.
Yeah.
And what we see in America, as you've just said, Steve, can be very discouraging. I mean, we have dropped the ball terribly here in this country. In the last century, we didn't drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel was spreading.
Mm-hmm.
There, people were strong in the Lord. There were people who were going to church. There were people who wanted to see the kingdom of God come. Now that we've gone into the 21st century, we've dropped the ball. But now what God has done is he's tossed the ball to some other countries,
mm-hmm.
like China.
Okay.
China, I used to think until last week that China had the greatest church growth in the world. It did have the greatest harvest of souls from 1976 after the Cultural Revolution with the rural underground church, the greatest national harvest of souls in all history.
Yeah.
And I believe there are about 140 million Christians in China now, which would be 10% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think India was second, that India was about there, but not quite there. Last week, I was with some Indian leaders who told me, even though I insisted, I cross-examined them, I almost told them they were wrong. They wouldn't back down. India is 25% Christian now.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing, amazing statistic.
You think about that. You know, it's hard for us, as much pride as we've had in America, to realize that America has not been the greatest advancement of the church. It's China.
Mm-hmm.
China has, like Peter Wagner just said, has the greatest harvest ever known through a simple Book of Acts mm-hmm. church planting movement, a rapid church planting movement. That's it. It's a rapid mm-hmm. church planting movement. The difficulty to understand is that that God has set his son over his church as the Lord of the church, and his spirit moves amongst us. Well, you can't be involved in a rapid church planting movement if you're not allowing the spirit of God to do whatever he wants to do. Let me tell you, everything applies. Our personal experiences, we begin to step out, as I was a traditional pastor, founding work, even before that, worked on a staff and did all those different things. What I've never seen, even in the midst of revival that was so awesome, the things that I've seen God do. Listen, it put the fear of God in. When you start seeing Ananias and Sapphira, mm-hmm. you begin to see, Eli, you begin to see miracles, signs and wonders and provision and just so many different things. Listen, we can do it. We can trust God. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. That's exactly what our goal is. Our goal is to do exactly what Peter Wagner and Steve Hill is talking about. We have been building foundation for what? For a rapid church planting movement. It's going to be like the rapids. I mean, you think about it. This is the word the Lord gave me. And the original sense of the call was, of what we've been planning and building, is it's going to be like the rapids. And what VFN is nothing but a paddle, as this whole move of God is just flying down the river. And we just stick VFN in the water and kind of keep it off the rocks, because it just happens so quick. It's like a tidal wave. Don't you want to be a part? Don't you want to be a part? I know Dr. Michael Brown said this. Listen, if you want to be a part of what God's doing, find out what he's doing and dive in. Find out more right now at vfnfamily.org. That's vfnfamily.org. You know, it's so important, Pat, to you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, when you just want to know the way of God. You right. want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things.
Mm-hmm.
The great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the great commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right.
Which
right.
is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. That is so important. that you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by His Spirit, to be able to go out and be witnesses for Him.
Right.
And you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you think, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field, maybe you're called to do for a church plant, that there's something inside of you. You've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around or a nation around or America around is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the first hour, as we come to the end of the first hour, is Chris and Pat. You know, guys, I wanted to say this. I wanted to say this before we move into the extra hour. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit, just rewind back a little bit on Israel. And this is so important, and just to kind of put it out there and be clear. You know, right now Israel needs all the support that's necessary. And there's a lot of people right now that are saying, hey, we support. Words are words.
Right.
Okay. But we got to look at fruit and actions many times. And right now we have the president saying that he supports Israel, yet at the same time, he's behind the Muslim Brotherhood and supporting them. And so really, how can you support the enemy?
Both, I'm saying, right.
What's really happening here? And remember that the Muslim Brotherhood is the one that is supporting Hamas. The Hamas is the military arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, who now has Egypt as its president. That's the person that's, you know, Morsi. Right. He came from the party of the Muslim Brotherhood. So you got to look at kind of the big picture of what's happening here, and this is so important. You know, we have an administration that just by the past, by fruit alone, you know, the Bible says we shall know them by their fruit.
That's right.
Not necessarily by our words. And the fruit has been. Things can change.
That's right.
We're just looking at fruit. Mm-hmm. Fruit has been that, you go on a tour, and the very first thing you do when you get into elected office, the very first international speech, you go to Cairo, Egypt, you invite the Muslim Brotherhood at the time. Mm-hmm. At the speech, you empower them, and then later they overthrow Hosni Mubarak, who didn't even show up to the speech.
That's right.
You visit all the other countries and have not set foot in the greatest ally that America has in the Middle East. That's Israel. Right. And we're considered your friend. Mm-hmm. Recently, there was no support of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But then all of a sudden, it's amazing that once, you know, everyone's running for election at that time, all points become very clear. Everything becomes clear. Everything becomes certain, mm-hmm. you know. But why does it even take that long? Why does it take that long? You're looking at rockets that are being fired and have been fired since 2001 completely into Israel, the southern part of Israel. Over the weekend, as this escalation has increased, you have rockets that have hit. They've been fired at Tel Aviv and even Jerusalem now.
That's right.
I mean, where are these weapons coming from? They're coming, Iran supporting them, Hamas. You have the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's like, you know, these are like chess pieces moving. Mm-hmm. And so although we're hearing, yes, their support from president administration, how can you have one support for Israel and then with another hand saying that you're supporting the Muslim Brotherhood?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a very, very serious time. It's a very serious time. And not to be fretful, not to be, you know, worrisome. Israel is more than capable and has the technology and the resources and everything they need to be able to deal with Hamas. Mm-hmm. But it's everything else that comes with that.
All right.
It's the radical terrorists that their sole aim is to destroy Israel. And so be prayerful, be supportive. You know, we've talked about supporting organizations like CUFI, Christians United for Israel, mm-hmm. and Avi, Mizrahi, and Duget Ministry, friends of ours in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. And we want to continue to pray for them as they've been on the front lines sharing the gospel for years in Israel. And so this is interesting what's gonna you know roll out. But I tell you one thing, we must stand. We must stand and not be fooled by words, because at this point, talk is really cheap. We need to see fruit.
That's right.
We need to see fruit. If you're going to stand, if this administration is going to stand, if we're going to stand, let's see it in policy. Mm-hmm. Let's see it in the real deal, if you will.
Right.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.